That's where our love need to be strong with our families. And I know we love our families. We love our children. And I'm going to tell you how you raise your children. But I want you to know it's not from me. Because if you're a parent here tonight, would you say, yeah, I made some mistakes? Man, could we all say that? I have made some mistakes. So it won't be from me, but it'll be from the Word of God, which you have no mistakes. I know that a lot of people are having problems sometimes raising families in one area or another. And I heard this lady at, you know, sometimes they kind of in doorstep sizes, and she had four kids, and there's kind of in doorstep ages, and they all got to be teenagers at one time. Can you imagine four teenagers in the house at one time? You know how teenagers are. You know, sometimes they'll be a little bit rambunctious in some areas. Someone asked her, they asked her, would you do it over again if you had a chance to do it over again? Would you have kids? She said, yes, but not the same ones. So I think we have kids. We could all relate to that statement. We could all relate to that statement because we know that we are not perfect parents. There are no perfect parents, and so therefore there are no perfect kids. But the Word of God is perfect, and I know we've made mistakes, but the Lord helps us as we go along in our life to raise our kids, and we could not raise them without the Lord. So I'm going to tell you tonight, raising young champions for Jesus Christ and what it tells us to do. And if I would have went by the Word of God more so when I raised my children, I would not have made as many mistakes as I did make, and you would not either. The Word of God is the truth, and we vary for it from a lot of time. But in Proverbs 22 and 6, Proverbs 22 and 6, as we commence this for a little while, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, this is such a great occasion, Father, this hour to talk about raising our children, Lord, the way that you would have us to raise them. Father, we know that we're just human beings, and we know that you realize that, and we're just subject to failure so many areas in our life. But there's a very, very important area in our life, and that is raising children, those that you allowed us to have, and how, Lord, that we have trained them in a way that they should go in this world. So we want to thank you, Lord, for your Word of God. It tells us, it shows us how to raise children, because a lot of many people, including myself, I thought I knew how to raise my family. But without the Word of God, I just made mistakes. So thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. And Father, where we fail, Lord, that you pick us back up again and we start back on that road. So Father, tonight I just pray everything is said and done here this hour, Lord, to be beneficial, Lord, to someone here this day. That, Lord, they may see the need of bringing their children to the house of God. Lord, for the Word of God, Lord, to show them the Son of God. So we want to thank you again for this hour, how that you have blessed us this day in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Now, as we see how we should bring up children and go to the Word of God, it tells us a lot of scriptures how that we need to read and understand. Well, we raise these champions for Jesus Christ. It said to start with train. That word train also is the same word as used many times in the Hebrew language is dedicate. Train, dedicate. And it's used four other times in the Bible. Two times a man dedicating his house, and you know when other two times when Solomon built the temple and dedicated the temple. This word is used here for train, dedicate. It's sad in our country now today that we are losing a generation. It won't be long for this generation at my age and a little older that we will be gone. If Jesus Christ don't come back, it won't be long this generation that I'm living in will be over with. What are we leaving the next generation? I would like for you to just kind of look back and see what the past generation has left you in the area of spirituality. What they have left you in the church age that we're living. How it was that people, how they used to worship and how that we worship now. How they had the dedication then and how they have the dedication now, their self to Jesus Christ. I'm afraid we have not done a very good job of really of dedicating our children to the Lord as we should, of the generation that we're living in this day. But we're losing a generation. As Brother Marsha said this morning, we always only one generation away from atheism in our country, and that is the truth. The problem, we have war in this country. You hear wars going on in our country? Well, there's a battle for children's soul, and it starts at a very, very young age. It even starts before they even go to school when they see things on television. There's an attack. Satan has aimed his big artillery of hell at the homes. He has missiles already set and guided towards your home. The missiles of homosexuality to tear up and bust up the family, because Satan knows when the family is destroyed, the nation will be destroyed. There's a great missile being aimed at our family these days that we're living in, the generation that we're living in, about homosexuality, about destroying the family, alternate lifestyle. God made me this way. I couldn't help it. That's a missile that's aimed at the family. The alcohol beverages and also drugs that Satan has aimed at our family, our little kids. There's no telling how many young people is on drugs and alcoholics today because of what Satan has aimed his big artillery at the homes today and our children. How do we bring them back to a sense now of warning them of what's right and really what's wrong? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, you need to read that because we won't read it tonight. I'll read a verse or two after a while. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, whenever God says, Moses, lead my children to the promised land. Well, he led them up to the edge of the promised land. And this was Moses' farewell message in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 through 9. And he knew that he was not going to be able to go over into the promised land, but he knew what was in the promised land. He knew there was Canaanites. And he knew of the danger of this pagan society that the Israelite people had worshipped the holy God, had worshipped the one true God. And he knew the problem they're going to have, just as you bring your children up in a house and you bring your children up in the ways they should go. And then you're going to send them to school. You're going to send them to college. You're going to send them out in this world. And we're living in a pagan society, the world that we're living in right now called the United States of America. And you got to turn them loose. And he knew they were going to have some strong power to be able to stand when they go into this pagan society, in the Canaanite society. Well, he did not give them artillery. He did not tell them to sharpen their bow and arrows. He did not give them spears and sword. He gave them something much more powerful than all those. He gave them the Word of God. Let me tell you, you're going to have to turn your children loose. You're going to have to. As Moses, mother and daddy, as they brought him up, and it was a crime to have a little boy child, and they threw him in the Nile River. But you know the story, how that she made a little basket and put him in it and sent him out into that crocodile-infested Nile River. You're going to do the same thing to your children. You hold them in your arms. You love them so much this hour. They're so sweet and so precious to you. But you're going to have to send them out into this a Nile crocodile-infested river of this world. It's called the United States and society we're living in. But you see, he had the prayers with him. I tell you, you need to pray for your children. And always pray for your children. So we find out that you're going to have to send your children out. Now, we got to teach them what's right and what's wrong in this pagan society we're in. They need strength, and they need strength from the Lord. You can give them everything else this world can possibly give them. Without the Word of God except in Jesus Christ, they're going to be failures in this world. They will not be successful. Or they may be rich. They may be famous. They may have all the fame. But they will not be successful in the eyes of God without the Word of God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They need Jesus. The most important thing. It's better than anything else you can get, the Word of God. We have lost a generation, my generation, that do not know the Word of God. That's the problem that we have in our country. A generation that don't want to know the Word of God and what God stands for. And whose fault is that? Look at how empty the churches is across America today on a Sunday night, on Wednesday night. We find out we're losing a generation. The greatest investment that you might be able to make is to your children and to your grandchildren. That is the greatest investment you'll ever make. Psalm 127:3 said, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, someone says that children will make a rich man poor, but they got it backwards. Children will make a poor man rich. Ooh, that sounds good, don't it? It's very sad to see some Christians that stand before God and they don't bring their children to heaven with them. Did you know, as a child of God, as a Christian, you know what you can do? Something a rich man cannot do? Rich man cannot bring their money to heaven with them. But I tell you what, you can bring your children to heaven with you. So that's something greater than riches of this old world. It's sad to think about some mother, some father that's saved, and yet they're living in the worldly ways, and they don't understand the great need to bring them to the house of God, and one day they may stand before God without their children. Without their children, not coming to the house on Wednesday night, Sunday night. We have a great Sunday school to teach the young kids. We have a great Sunday school for all ages. Lord prepares people. You know, Wednesday night is great. You need to bring your children, and you need to encourage other people that's not bringing theirs to bring them. The purpose, the sermons, this hour, as I'm going to fix to talk about the dedication. But the dedication is not heap up guilt upon someone that maybe has failed in some areas we all have. I'm not here to have guilt, but I want here to, by the grace of God, to encourage you, to equip you, and to lift you up the all-important task of raising the children in the principle that God said we need to raise them in. The Bible. As I said, we all parents and we have all made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Proverbs 22:6 again. Train up a child in the way he should go. Well, how are we going to do this? All mothers and fathers, I know we've had trouble with our kids before, and we know what, you probably have trouble with them again. But you see, the principles now in the Word of God, they're principles. Now, Proverbs are principles, they're not promises. You understand that. There's promises in the Bible, there's principles in the Bible. And the principle we have here today is you train that child up. It's not a promise. Sometimes they'll go astray anyway, but you be doing the best that you can do. And we'll explain that. Now, see, there's different. It says train. They're different in teaching and learning. There's a difference there. Teach them about something, you know, and someone else might come around and teach them about something else. Because a lot of times if you just teach them and they have the head knowledge of it, not a heart knowledge of it, somebody else will come along and teach them something else. And that's what you're seeing in a lot of our colleges today. Most of our colleges are ungodly colleges to start with. And I tell you, I want to brag again on our school system in Pierce County. I think we have an exceptional school system in Pierce County and a lot of exceptional Christian teachers. But I tell you, we're living in a close society because all school system is not like Pierce County. They're not like Pierce County. It's very, very ungodly system. I mean, but we have a good school system. And I thank all the Christian teachers that's in our school system right now. But train that mind. Mothers and fathers, you know, a lot of time when kids goes off to college and they'll come back and they say, you know, you're not wide-minded enough. That you know they done got to them. Because they get so wide-minded, all the brains fall out. They don't understand any common sense anymore. Because they got some of these teachers that done what I told you. They're going to teach them what you have against what you've been teaching them all your life. So they need to know this. Now, we have the prepare, train. It means prepare for a contest. I know that a lot of y'all like football. I don't like football. I don't like ball of any kind. I'm exceptional. I mean, can you imagine anybody that living this day and time don't care nothing about ball? I don't care nothing about ball. If you really want to hurt me, tie me down, make me listen to one of them things. I don't like ball. I don't care much about it. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But y'all watched a lot of ball probably this past week, and those ball players, you know what? They practiced and they practiced and they practiced and they practiced and they practiced. Now, they didn't learn how to play football by reading the book. Now, they're good at it. You know, the pros, college, schools, whatever, they've been practicing since they've been a child. They practice it, they practice it, and they practice it. That's what this word here means, train. It means, you know, prepare for a contest. Train your child because there's a contest this child is going to face one of these days. One of these days, you know. Today, a lot of people like to bird hunt. They train these bird dogs. You know, and sometimes fathers spend a lot of time training their bird dogs. More time than they do training the kids sometimes. And then you know what they'll do? They'll tie the bird dog up at night and turn the kids loose. Thought you'd like that. Today, over 5 million children goes missing in the United States every year. 5 million children. Where's the mother and the fathers? God knows the pain and the agony, the death that those kids are going through. Well, to start with, you know what you need? Commence mighty, mighty early. It says there in childhood, the training factor we have. Train means dedicate. And to dedicate, as I said to start with, it's really to the parents. The parents. And all parents ought to dedicate their child to the Lord, whether you do it at a service or you do it at your home or whether you do it on your knees before you and the Lord, you need to do it. To dedicate yourself and your child to the Lord. Don't have to be in a service. Thank you for Jeremy and Suzanne allow us to be able to do this night, but it don't have to be in a ceremony service. It could be right there in your own home. Just important to God. It's your own home. But the mothers and fathers, the reason you don't see more of this, because they are not dedicated themselves. You cannot dedicate your child unless you're dedicated yourself to the Lord. Jeremy and Suzanne are going to be an illustration here this night. But I'm going to tell you what, it will not work unless they are dedicated themselves to the house and the service of the Lord. Because there's nothing spiritual about this, giving this to this baby, unless they're ready to dedicate themselves to Jesus Christ themselves. You know, the Catholic believes in infant baptism. They don't make them no spiritual because they widow when they're young, sprinkle a little bit of water on them. And it won't help this child here this hour unless the mother and the father steps forward in dedicating themselves to Jesus Christ and the commitment to the church. Children. It says, you know, there's a correcting factor about this. A child. Little, it says. A child, it means little. Twig. You correct it when it's small. Now, it says little. You know, you can kind of correct a stream, and you can make a stream when it's small go one way or the other, but you can't do nothing to the Mississippi River. It's already set in its ways. You know, when would you bend the oak tree? When it's a small sapling about an inch around, would you wait to get 4 foot? You see, you got to find out when. Proverbs 19 and 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope. Some parents start 16 years old and 175 pounds too late. That's right. And we all ought to make a mistake as that. Proverbs 13 and 24 says, he that spares his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chases him behind time. That means early. Be time means early, young, whenever they're teachable. That's the reason they need to be in Sunday school when they're young, when they're teachable, to learn things. Communication factor about it. But they have great capacity to remember things. Mother and father says, you know, they don't need to understand this. They don't need to understand that. They got these little old computers at an early age. And I'm going to tell you what, you say some words around the house you shouldn't say. You know what they do? They log right up in their computer. And after a while, you hear it come back out and embarrass you. Don't you tell me they can't learn. I'm going to tell you, they got these computers. And they'll embarrass you. Man, when they come to Sunday school Wednesday night, whatever, they also, the children, don't you think they don't hear? They might sit there and squirm around. They might be cuddling. They might be doing this. But don't you think they ain't listening a little bit? And I'll tell you what, God revealed some things to them. And they got that little old computer just a spinning. But if you don't bring them to the house of the Lord where they can hear that, they're not going to put it in a computer because they can't hear it. So you need to bring your kids early. When do you start bringing kids to church? 9 months before they're born. You need to bring them early. They need to bring them early. And then, you know, conversion factor. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, on down to 16, says, and they brought young children to him, that's Jesus, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he and his hands upon them and bless them. You know, some people think a child got to know and got to come as an adult. Do they say the right things? Do they understand what they say? Do they say the right things? Do they have this understanding? They must understand like an adult. No, you got it backwards. You old big old adults, you got to understand like a child. It's childlike faith. We got little kids that walk down this aisle and some grown men won't. We got it backwards. Paul says to Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scripture from thy youth. Mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois taught them. Then we have, you know, the correct with consistency. Proverbs 13 and 24, again, as I have just read that. Chasing them. Someone says, I can't chasten him. I can't chasten him. I love him too much. See if I got time for this. You know, the truth of the matter, you don't love that child too much. You love yourself too much. You love yourself too much because it gives you displeasure. And you love yourself too much and you don't want to be bothered with it. I want to tell you what this type of love is when you're chasing your child. I'm not taking beating them and taking advantage of them, but I'm going to tell you, you need to discipline them. And we've got away from that. That's one of the problems we have in our school system and around the world today now. Because parents will not do what God's told them to do and discipline their child. When I say no, I mean no. Well, that's simple, isn't it? It must not be. When I say no, I mean no. Why don't you discipline that child? Are you better than God? Hebrews 12 and 6 says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastens the one he loves. If you don't believe it, you get out there and do what you are. No, don't do that. I must tell you, but if you happen to, he's got a woodshed, brother. The reason for correction, it's a human nature. Proverbs 22 and 15. Foolish is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That word foolishness needs wickedness. Did you know that sweet little angel thing that you got's about this long? In the heart of that child, did you know what's bound up all this stuff? Because it's the human nature. Already in the heart of that child. Because it come in this world with a fallen nature. And I guarantee you, you won't have to teach your children how to tell a lie. You won't have to do that. Why is that? No human nature. It's bound up in that old human nature. Self benefits. Proverbs 29, 15 and 17. The rod of reproof gives wisdom, but the child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. If you don't, you're going to have it, mother, fathers, because it's a coming. If you don't discipline that child, you're going to be ashamed one of these days. You're going to be ashamed if you don't discipline that child. The lack of consistency. When you tell your child to do something, if you don't, this is what's going to happen. You need to make that happen. Because they're going to keep pushing you. And you know, when you draw a line for your children and they step over that line and you draw another line, they keep stepping over the line, you know what you're telling them? You tell them, I don't love you. They have no security. I had plenty of security when I was coming along. I'm telling you, I had plenty of security. When my daddy told me something, that was going to happen. That was going to happen. I'm telling you, Hebrews 12 and 11 says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyful but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Boy, it's a joy to see little children come to the house of God and know when they've been corrected. You can tell them, I'm going to tell you what, and those that really don't care, I'm telling you, you can tell them. I think that most of all we find out, though, the correction with consistency comes with, you know, the spiritual benefit. The spiritual benefits. The major reason I think correcting a child is spiritual benefits, because Proverbs 23, 13 and 14 says, withhold not correction from the child, for thou betest him with the rod, he shall not die. That means if you whip him, he won't kill him. Thou shalt beat him with a rod. That's not a rod, that's a switch. And shall deliver his soul from hell. I mean, you can turn him in a different direction. The major reason. Rod, like I said, that's not a club, a rod, that's a spanking instrument. You know? Now, whenever I was coming along, we had peach trees and some type of old hedge. I hated on thing, old shrubs. And have any of y'all my age or older now? They don't do this thing nowadays in time. Altogether different. You still need to do it. But anyway, say, all right, go out there and get me one of them whips. Oh, I hated to do that. You know better than get a little small one. You know, that weren't going to work when they send you out to get another one. Or they might go get it themselves. Go out there and get one, boy. And boy, you look around on them, boy, there'd be sticks all over the place. And man alive, you had to pick out one you know was going to hurt you. I think that was part of the punishment to start with, having to pick out your whip. Well, that's what it's talking about here. It says, rod, it's an instrument there of correction. Get that peach tree or goldberry limb. You know, and God gave a spanking place for all of our kids. He gave a spanking place. My dad never did whip me on an empty stomach. He always turned me over. There's always a spanking place, aren't they? I mean, you ain't got to slap him in the face, but I'm going to tell you what, my dad found that spanking place many times. My mother, she beat me because I was smaller than her. Discipline. You know, it starts off in the homes, and you know what? One of the problems we have in our country, because we have no discipline in our homes, and you know what it's doing? It's spreading to our school system. I'm going to tell you, you can't teach kids without discipline. Now, you teachers, y'all know that. They got to be disciplined in the school system. When mothers and fathers won't let you get on to them, mother and father's not going to discipline, you know what? You got chaos. And you know, it passed on in the school system, and then you can see it in the churches. But not only that, they have no honor, respect for our government. And that's one of the reasons that we're building prisons just as fast as we can. Because no discipline that starts off in the home and away from God's word. It says there in 14, a soul in hell. Sad to see it today in the United States of America, what's happening to our young people. Psalm 127. Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of youth. Happy is a man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gates. Blessed are children. Thank the Lord for your children and for your grandchildren. They are a blessing from God. They are a blessing from God. Verse 4, it says arrows. Now, arrows can be directed. They talk about children, arrows. That's children. You can shoot an arrow in any direction that you want to. Did y'all know that? Now, some parrots shoot their arrows at sports. Some parrots shoot their arrows at pleasures, at materialism, prestige, and money. Get all you can. They don't shoot them towards the Lord, the bullseye. You can shoot them in any direction you want to, and I'll tell you, parents are shooting their kids in a lot of different ways besides pointing them towards the Lord. Did y'all know that? I'm telling you. Arrows can be polished, they can be pointed, and they can be propelled. But when they leave the bow, you have very little control over the arrow. And your kids leave, you have polished them, you have pointed them, you have propelled them to go out. But after they leave, it's them. United States mother, today especially, motherhood is the greatest thing that God ever gave a woman, whether you believe it or not. The greatest thing. Children need their mothers. They need their fathers. They need their mother and their father, especially the mother, because so many mothers today have given up on the task of raising children and farming it out. Now, I know that it takes two just about to make a living nowadays, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm just telling you, They need their mother better than they need a new house. They need their mother better than they need swimming pools or new cars or clothes or going out and eat. They need their mothers more than anything else. The best thing that you can give them is a mother. And I tell you, you cannot farm it out. There's nobody can mother that child as good as you can. Yes, I know that we live in a society. It takes everything we can make and rake and scrape just to get by. And then sometimes we don't make it. It takes mothers and daddies working, and I ain't got to ask. But if you could, the greatest thing God has given you, if you could stay home and work with that child, is the greatest thing in the world. And for mothers and fathers to love each other and love the Lord. You know what Moses' mother told him whenever he got to the age that he had to go back and start living with Pharaoh? Don't forget who you are, Moses. Don't forget who you are. And that's what you can tell your children. Don't forget who you are. The psalmist called children arrows. Now, what is an arrow for? An arrow is something that you shoot at the enemy. As I said, now, you know, a woman wants to climb the corporate ladder, and they want to do great things. And they don't really want to be motherhood of changing diapers anymore. But the greatest thing you could do is train these little arrows and shoot them at the enemies. You know why? Because these arrows can go where you could never go. When you send these arrows out, they can go where you can never go. Did you know if you bring them up and God says, you know what, and you shoot these arrows, they can go where you cannot never go. You see, there's some people on the missionary field that you cannot go. But you know what, there may be some people sitting here raising a child. It might be on the missionary field one day. And you can't go. But you shoot that arrow towards that enemy. They may be preachers and pastors sitting right here raising their kids or their grandkids one of these days to be a pastor or a preacher. Missionaries. Homemakers. You see, the church needs Sunday school, it needs Wednesday night, and needs the mothers and fathers to help us to train these little ones as they get older. And when they do, they look at the commitment of the mothers and the fathers. Look at commitment of mothers and fathers, and you can see and tell how the children is going to be committed themselves. Probably won't get to my other points, but we need some other points. I'd like to go on, but my time's about out for what I have to do at this time. So we're going to ask the song of invitation at this time to come. Now, if you want to come to this altar and you want to dedicate yourself or whatever you want to do, you want to pray to the Lord or whatever you want to do, you can come at this time. The first thing before you can dedicate a child is you need to be saved, mothers and fathers. You need to be saved. Grandmothers. Grandfathers, you need to be saved. You need to come.